Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oh, I like that music. Hey, everyone. Danny. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Arsenal, Always Arsenal show. You're putting me off, Danny, sweet man. I'm going to have a go at you. Thank you for all joining us tonight. And after the beautiful weather the whole of England have had, I'm glad to see my two guests are safe and well. So let's welcome them. First up, Danny. My lovely Danny from the Bergkamp Wonderland pod, see what I mean? Who is like another brother from a podcast mother. As for those that don't know, when I was asked to be on a girls podcast, Danny was on the boys' side and I was on the girls' side. And that, we were just working out, was about 9 years ago.
Yep.
Isn't it, Dan? So welcome to the show, my lovely.
Thank you for inviting me. It's very nice. I've had lots of chicken. I've had half a bag of Doritos and a bottle of Lucozade. I'm ready to go.
You're ready, aren't you? Okay, next up is Melvin. Lovely Melvin. Melvin is probably another uncle from a grandmother. And Melvin, come on, tell everyone what pods you're on, because I don't know how many you do.
I'm on mainly Over and Over and Over Again with Richard. I'm on Ryan, Mr. Arsenal 89, and also from Dale Square to Wear.
Wow.
I've done a few quizzes with this gentleman below me on the screen.
Oh, if you do quizzes with Danny, there's no way you'd win because he just knows everything about Arsenal. No pressure, Dan, but I know what you like. It's like a podcast round table tonight. It's like we're all podcast people. It's so cool. Right, first things first. Last week I did a post-game show, my first ever as a host against Wolves, and I need to apologise and retract something I said. So, Martinelli and the two yellow cards. Albert was on with me. And I said to Albert, I thought the two yellow cards were correct. But as you know, it's like a manager coming off the pitch and verbalising the adrenaline. I'd just come off watching a game where we'd scored a goal and we won 3 points. That was really important. After I came off the pod and I read some comments and then I read the laws and everything, I do actually think the referee was completely wrong. He should have booked Martinelli, stopped the game. Because one of the things that I did really realise was he may not have made that second foul if he had known he was going to get booked for the first one. So it was unfair. So I'm retracting what I'm saying. Right, everyone. Tomorrow, we've got Brentford. We haven't got Martinelli, obviously, because of the two yellow cards. Melvin, who would you go with up front instead of Martinelli?
I would just take Martinelli, obviously he can't play, and put Smith Rowe there. I think he plays well on the wide on the left. I don't think it's a difficult choice, really. It's not like we were, say, 6 months ago, 9 months ago. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? We don't know who's our centre-forward. We don't know what this is. There's so many different variations. I mean, let's face it, we can probably pick the team tonight. probably get it 99%, can't we, really? We couldn't have done that 6 months ago. We wouldn't even know. Got that three right. So I'm very happy that we're in this situation. And obviously, if Tommy's fit, you've got to put him right. As well as Cedric did play the other day, you want Tommy in the team, don't you? It gives us so much more.
Well, he does. And it's great news about Tommy because it does seem, fingers crossed, that he may play a part tomorrow. Yeah. Danny, okay, so I'm going to ask you two about the yellow cards. What did you think straight away? Was you like me or did you think that that's out of order?
I thought it was a mistake. And then I thought, well, the first one was because you could see that he'd shoved the bloke who was about to take the run in because he wanted to quickly run back because he does do a lot of covering at left back and left wing and all along that place. And he was trying to slow play down so that he could get back into position because he could see it was going to be a quick throw. His teammate was going to get the ball and he'd be halfway down the pitch before Martinelli would be ready. And so he gave him a little shove and then went running after him. And so maybe give him a warning for that shove. It wasn't violent. It wasn't anything else. It was just him playing the game because the bloke took a quick throw-in, which was an illegal throw-in, apparently, according to people who understand the rules. Asked Hector Bellerin, and he said, yeah, it's an illegal throw-in because he knows all about those. And then he ran. The stupid thing was that when he ran down there, he caught the bloke. And he could have overtaken him, got in front of him and said, no, you're not going any further. I'm going to put a stop in. But he didn't. He grabbed hold of him or shoved him or pulled him over or whatever that he did. And you're thinking, that's something you learn as with age and experience as a player not to do that. So although possibly both incidents were yellow card incidents, which equals a red card, the referee, it's never happened in Premier League football before. And Keith Hackett was saying that he should have either given a warning for one and a yellow for the other, but he obviously wanted to send him off because he didn't. That's the kind of referee he is. You've got referees like that are all about themselves. They want to be in the limelight. Yeah. They want to be making the controversial decisions and they get away with it. And he's got away with it again.
It does seem a bit like that, doesn't it? And what's all this nonsense with Wolves telling us off for celebrating? When is it illegal to celebrate a hard-fought win with 10 men?
Playing the game, aren't they? The social media game where their Twitter account was having a bit of a dig. I thought there's no need for it. Historically, Arsenal fans and Wolves fans have always got on. I quite like Wolves. I'm glad that they play nice football. And I'm glad they're staying up.
Well, someone who is celebrating, Tracy, who I've just put on the screen, it's her birthday tonight, but it's not tonight for her because she's in Australia. So she's up watching us on her birthday. I think it must be, 4 o'clock in the morning, Trace? Anyway, happy birthday, darling. Thank you so much for all your support on Twitter and on the podcast. And she's a great Guna girl. So happy birthday, Tracy.
Happy birthday.
Evening to everybody in the chat room as well. It's so lovely to have these two with me. And now I'm going to ask you for some questions as well, but let's just chat about a couple of things. We've got, is it three games in hand on United?
I shall have a quick look.
Have a quick look, Dan.
We've played 22, and they've played 25. Three games.
So I'm the sort of girl, and I did tweet about this, that I'm a more points on the scoreboard, games in hand, not sort of girl. It's nice to have, but as we've seen what Tottenham did, they didn't take any advantage of it, did they, Melvin?
No, they didn't, but we're not Tottenham, thank God. No, I think, listen, the way we're playing, we will get points. May not get, 4 points, but the next few games are not that difficult. And if we continue with the momentum we've got, I see no reason. Yes, of course, I'd rather 3 points than have to play for them, but we'll have to play these games. And if we're good enough, we get the points. And if we're not, we won't. So let's just take every game. We've got 16 more games. Keep it all going. Be consistent. And don't worry about the other teams. Even if whatever points we're behind, say we're 6 points behind, it's irrelevant. If we play our own game, play well, we'll overtake these teams because they will be dropping points as well.
But Melvin, we are having a problem scoring goals. We can't deny that. And as much as I am massively behind Arteta, we cannot deny that. So what makes you think that these games coming up are easy? This is the Arsenal, Melvin.
I know.
Brentford are coming to us tomorrow in such poor form. They're going to turn into like Barcelona tomorrow.
I remember the first game of the season. My God, that was horrendous, wasn't it?
Yep.
Friday night, sitting, getting ready for it, absolutely wonderful. And it just went horribly wrong. I mean, I think we lasted 2 minutes before me and my son went, this ain't right. Something's not right here. No, it's, listen, you've got to be confident. We've pulled performances out of the bag that we didn't think we would do this year. I think we'd do it again. Yes, we can't score goals. But at the moment, we're in this position, so we must be scoring some goals. We need to score a lot more. I agree, because we cannot afford to let goals in with our attack. That's the big problem. But you never know. You know, I think that when Martinelli comes back, I'd love to see him go in the middle, because I think he's the guy to do it. You know, we can have a chat about Lacazette another time, but I think he's the guy that will actually make the runs in the box. Because you look at Odegaard, for example, people are not sure about him. But he hasn't got anyone to give it to in the box. When he gets the ball outside the box, all he can give it to is wide to Saka, because no one's running in the box. If we have someone that running at space in the box or making space, I think we'd be all right. But I'm confident. I really am.
Why do you think people aren't happy with Odegaard? I hear the opposite, actually. I think obviously some maybe are not, but I hear the opposite, that they think he is talented and he is doing well.
He is talented. He's very talented. But I think they're worried. Some of them are saying that final ball into the box doesn't happen with him. And they're saying all the lovely work before it. His one touch is very good. He's not that strong on the ball either, in all fairness. He gets knocked off the ball for my liking a bit too much. I like him. But if you're going to be critical, that's what I would be critical with him. And also, I'm not blaming him for not putting the ball in the box and getting it in, because he's got no one to give it to. I think he links up with Saka very, very well. And he's got some lovely touches, but he just doesn't do enough. And I'm hoping it's just because he's got no one to give it to in the box, rather than he just can't do it. I think he can do it, and he just hasn't got anyone to give it to.
Dan, do you agree with that?
I think his future could well be as a more of a Thierry Henry-style player, where he's not necessarily being the main striker, but he will be the one scoring the goals, coming in from the left-hand side, when he can come in from the right-hand side as well. So I think Melvin's quite right. But at times like this, we know Lacazette can't do the 8, the 10, and the holding down attacking midfielder role. He can't do all of those jobs and then sprint up and then try and score goals. So I'd like to see him play in that position sooner rather than later, because Eddie isn't the man to score a goal. He hasn't scored a Premier League goal for his all season, not played that many games, but he's shown his level is in the league, is in League Cup and European games and FA Cup against lesser opposition. I don't think in his lifetime he's ever going to do well against any of the top six teams in the Premier League, sadly.
Okay, so Graham's got a question for us. Hi, Graham. Thank you so much for being in the chat room and asking. Good to have Danny and Melvin on, Amanda. I agree. Do the boys think referees referee Arsenal differently to other clubs? Dan, you sort of said about the referee with Martinelli, didn't you? That you felt like he wanted to be in the limelight. So do you agree with what Graham said?
Yeah, they definitely do. You look at, I think there's only one of the Premier League referees who isn't from the North. And like there was one, I was talking to, I think it was Josh on my pod, he was saying that one of the referees grew up 1 mile away from Manchester, but didn't support Manchester United, from Man United's ground, grew up for that far away, and said he didn't support them. He supported Altrincham or some Nantwich or something like that.
Yeah.
There is far too much bias. And even now we've seen that Gary Neville and them lot have come out and said that the 50th game at Old Trafford, they just knew how to manipulate the referee. We've seen it ever since the Premier League has started. Most of the referees are from the North. Or the Midlands, and that's the teams they support. And we don't get the rub of the green regularly, and they don't like us. And it's almost like they like to see us complain when they treat us unfairly. But it didn't used to matter because we were so good.
Do you think Xhaka is treated unfairly? A lot of Arsenal fans do. Do you think, you know, often you see fouls, and often I tweet, if that was Xhaka, you know, I do feel... I'm not really a conspiracy theorist with referees, but I do feel at the moment now, Xhaka does get targeted. Do you agree or not? It
reminds me a little bit of Vinnie Jones back in the day when Vinnie Jones used to get booked for absolutely everything. You can sum up Xhaka's luck with referees, where he made that tackle right in front of the manager's box, the area, and he took someone out. Maybe a yellow card. It was early on in the game, I think, and he got a straight red for it. And then you just think,
Man City.
I can't remember who he was. It's last season or the season before. Yeah, and that just sums him up. I mean, he's an idiot. He doesn't seem to realise that that cameras are everywhere and you're not going to get away with it. And he did it against Wolves, grabbing hold of the bloke's top and pulling him and Partey both got booked early on in the first half. And you think, oh, you're stupid then. You can't be that thick that you think you're going to get away with it when the referees definitely have it in for him. Whereas Son and that lot aren't that kind of bloke. Simjaka is that kind of bloke.
How do you feel that Arteta can stop this, Melvin? Because if you saw the interview, he even said, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know how to stop it.
I don't think he can stop it. How can you stop it? What do you say to a player? You should say, don't get stupid yellow cards or red cards. That's obvious. They should know that. They're professional. But you can't stop the way they tackle. You can't take that away. You take that 5% away from a player, then you're looking for trouble. I'd rather have a bad name and get the points and just give up and play at 95%. You can't do that in this league. We're not clever enough, perhaps. Perhaps the boys are too young. They're not clever enough. But we don't get the rub of the green. I mean, sometimes you think that the referee can't wait if there's a foul to take that yellow card out with us. Whereas other teams, you think he's looking for an excuse not to give the yellow card. You really do think that. And every time you're knocking your head against brick wall, you think, well, I know I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. We're all biased as football fans from all clubs. But you think, no, I know I'm biased, but this ain't right. Come on. And to go back to the Wolves game, I think with that double yellow card, I think he wanted to do that, the ref, because he knows he's in the Guinness Book of Records. So I think his job done as far as he's concerned.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But do you know what, though, isn't it just? If it's going to happen, it's against the Arsenal. Anything is so mental, isn't it, at the moment? Thanks for your question, Graham. Robert's got an interesting one here, which we were talking about. I asked you, Melvin, and I asked Danny. Robert Stevens, I honestly think Pepe should go up front for tomorrow's game. He adds another dimension through the middle. Danny?
No. Chris, as I'm just looking at his stats here, he played under the Leeds manager, whose name I can't remember, Bielsa. He played under him at Lille for, I think, one or two seasons. His first season in Ligue 1, he scored 13 in 36 league games. Some of them were penalties. And then the season we bought him, he scored 22 in 38. I think half of those, maybe 10 or 11 of those were penalties. And he did spend some of that season, 2018-19, playing as a striker. And it didn't work. It's not what he does. You see sometimes when he'll get past a load of players and then it looks like he'll panic and he'll just go, I don't remember, like occasionally, like Theo used to do, sometimes he'd go months on end with no end product. He'd show all the skill getting past people, getting down to the byline, and then just have no end product. He isn't the kind of player that could play regularly as a striker. I'd have him come on rather than Pepe, but rather than Nketiah as play as a striker, because he's got pace. And something you hate as a defender is somebody's going to run at you with the ball, tricky feet, and going to get past you. What he does after he gets past you, that's the bit that is the problem. But in his life, he scored 74 goals in 260 games, all competitions, all teams. So he obviously knows how to score. So maybe give him a run now that we're down to the bare bones of having Lacazette isn't really on form. And he's rusty, and he's not playing as a striker. And Eddie doesn't look like he really is bothered.
No, but Pepe might come back a bit hungrier. We haven't seen him when is the last... Right, Dan, this is for you to look up. When is the last time he played for us? And in between this, I'm going to read out Albrecht Schultz, a.k.a. I can't say it.
Just call him Albert.
Albert, yeah. This is for you, Melvin. I love Ødegaard. We miss our striker doing the first post run, which doesn't allow us to generate space in behind. Who are the runners in behind? ESR will show up there for sure. Is that generally what you were trying to say about the fact that he hasn't got anyone to pass to?
No one, because you look at, you watch him when he gets the ball. There's all the defence in the box, and our forwards are facing the wrong way, like Lacazette's facing the wrong way anyway. There's no one running down the channel, even the small channels in the box. No one making any movement. So he's got a tough job. But I hope that that is the reason and not the reason that he's not, I don't think, performing to 100% is because he hasn't got the runners and not because he hasn't got it. I think he has got it. I think he's got a good football brain. I think he can do it. But as you're right, he is not good enough. He's had enough chances. He's not like a 19-year-old now. He's old enough. He's played enough games from us. We can see with our own eyes whether he's good enough. And I don't, for one, believe he's good enough. Pepe in the middle. Yeah, I'll give it a try on the basis that once he does these little jinks in the middle, they can't afford to foul him. They foul him on the wing, not a problem. Mm. You foul him down towards goal, you might give a penalty away. So I'd like to see him. Listen, if he doesn't play at centre forward, he hasn't got a position in this team. Because the other day, when, as I say, Eddie came on before him, you're thinking the manager cannot rate him at all. There cannot be a place in the team for Pepe at the moment if he's bringing on Eddie.
We don't know what goes on behind the scenes, do we? Right, Dan, you got that stat. When did he last play for us?
The last time he played in the Premier League was he came on for the last 12 minutes of Norwich 5-0 on Boxing Day. The game before that was three games before that. He played 7 minutes against Southampton. Wow. And then the last time he played 90 minutes was against Sunderland in the League Cup on the 21st of December. And the last time before that he played 90 minutes was against Leeds in the League Cup on the 26th of October.
Okay, so he hasn't had a full game for a while, was he?
No.
Not in the league.
I think he'll be on the bench tomorrow, but okay. Matthew D'Souza, by the way, thank you for all your questions. I was going to go down a different route, but we'll go down that route later. Well, let's do the questions. Matthew D'Souza, the reason we get players sent off is because we don't read the temperature of the game and cause our own problems. I sort of agree with that, Matthew. I've not the referee conspiracy theorist. I'm a little bit with Xhaka, but I sort of agree with that. Melvin? Do you or not? Do you think they get sent off because they don't read it properly?
I think some of them, Xhaka, for example, doesn't read it properly. No, he just doesn't matter.
He's illiterate when it comes to reading the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's in a different language, isn't it? No, he can't read the game. He can't read anything, no. I think the others, I think we're very unlucky. I really do. And whether it's the referee's biasness or just we're very unlucky, I don't know. Perhaps it's a bit of both. But we are definitely different. We are treated differently. We get decisions against us that are different to other teams. We've had players that should have been sent off against us. I'm talking about double reds, where the tackle's been horrendous and they don't even get booked. You're thinking, really? Really? If he had a different badge in his shirt, would it be a different outcome? And I reckon it would be. So it's not...
Would you know it's interesting you say that, Melvin, because I'm not like Dan. I don't remember thousands of things. But the one thing I do remember from this season is Harry Kane at Tottenham against Liverpool. And what he did to, I think it was Trent or Roberts. I can't remember which one it was to.
The left back, Robertson.
Yeah, Robertson. It was a red card without even doing VAR.
Yeah.
He didn't even get sent off. I don't even know why he got a yellow card, because why would you give a yellow for that? For what? It's either a red or nothing.
Yeah.
And then, what, 20 minutes later? You get Robertson doing that and get sent off. And it was a sending off. I'm not disputing that. Yeah. But I've always said this. Harry Kane does get treated differently and Spurs players get treated differently. It could be the England setup. It could all to be to do with that. But I've always felt that. And I'm not, as I said, and everyone knows me, I'm not one of these that's a sheep and jumps on the bandwagon. I've only really felt that Xhaka's got treated differently more this season, and I'm sure more people have thought that. But Utabi said Xhaka is an instigator of his own problems. I think we all agree there, don't we?
It's not just that we get punished more. We don't get protected. Saka against Crystal Palace. He was standing on one leg. The bloke nearly broke his leg. Tomiyasu kick in the face. Nothing was done. Those were both straight reds. Both of those were attacks. They were physical attacks. Yeah. Like remember back in the day, Duncan Ferguson for Rangers went to prison for what he did to somebody on the pitch. They're physical attacks. Nothing happened against it. So it's both ways. We're losing when it comes to being punished, and we're losing when it comes to being defended against. It's the whole thing's corrupt. We know it's corrupt.
Yeah.
Well, this is what. So Johnny Boy said, in the same way the top three clubs get off lightly, Arsenal get spanked. These overpaid refs are ruining the game we love. You know what? I don't even know if it's the refs anymore. I think it's the people behind VAR as well. This toenail. If you've got a toenail, you're offside. You know, we sit there.
With David Luiz against Wolves, where his knee barely touched his foot.
Oh, and then you get other players doing the same foul and nothing. And I argue to the hilt, you know, I'm quite a fair fan. If I see something happen against West Ham or something, I would call it out. But we just, David, oh, don't even start me. I could do a whole show on referees. Right, okay, so Carl Stark, what positions do we need to fill in the summer? Well, I think one's pretty obvious. Dan?
Well, it's going to have to be a... See, I was wondering whether... Man City don't play with a striker. Pep is the legend for Arteta. Is Arteta going down the route? Because we've seen that Lacazette doesn't play as a striker anymore. He's playing deeper. I often wonder whether the future for Arsenal could be Arteta copying what Pep does. Then we don't need a striker in the summer. We just need a more creative midfielder who's going to push forward. Whatever it is, Lacazette isn't the answer. Eddie isn't the answer. Pepe isn't the answer. So all of those need to be gone and get someone. Personally, I do like a striker. I like someone like Calvert-Lewin, or that Isak bloke looks pretty good, mainly because when they were both on loan at Real Zaragoza, him and Odegaard were both there and they were both fantastic. They had Odegaard set up so many of his goals. And this season, he's not having that much of a... not scoring that many goals, although his team are doing quite good in La Liga. I think they're in the top five. And so it's going to have to be someone up front who's going to score goals, because although I do prefer a team where you're going to get goals from everywhere, and we do have goals on the left, on the right, in central midfield, goals off the bench. And I don't like it when a team has... Remember in the days when if Thierry Henry didn't score, we didn't score. And then sometimes, I mean, that's happened. The same with Ian Wright, especially when he was scoring. If he didn't score, if Ian Wright weren't playing, you'd think, well, we're not scoring today. Then we had the days in the Invincibles where you had so many players. I mean, even Gilberto once scored about six or seven in the season. A few were penalties. And so you got to look at what sort of football he's going to play. If he's going to play with a striker, then it's going to have to be one and a half strikers coming in, someone who's going to be happy to come in as backup. We're going to have European competition, probably the Champions League we'll be playing in. And then we're going to need someone to replace Xhaka. And maybe, I think if we got an offer for Partey, I'd let Partey go as well. Because Partey's been here now for 18 months, 2 years. I can never remember when we signed him. And he's not done it. He has not been a £50 million player. Occasionally, you've seen him and you've gone, wow, that is... when he's on the right side of midfield and he does a lofted ball all the way over onto the left wing, to pinpoint to the foot of the person running onto it, you think, well, if you can do that now, why can't you do that game in, game out? It just doesn't look like he likes to be here. I mean, you're not going to come from Madrid to come play in North London and go, well, the weather's lovely. And I like the fact that I can't go out without getting robbed, beaten up, and my house burgled.
So okay.
I wouldn't want to live in London. I'd rather live in Madrid.
I'm in disagreement about Partey. I think it's exactly what I need, and I think he's going to shine this
hopefully
next coming season, Dan.
Well, if he gets a decent someone next to him, he's going to be out playing more than a couple of games in a row without getting sent off.
Yeah.
And isn't going to... Yeah. So that's... is there anyone you want?
I actually was going to talk about Lacazette, because I've always been a big fan of his, because I think he does a lot of work off the ball. Yes, but we do need someone to put the ball in the back of the net. I would give Lacazette a year's extension on his contract to have him there, Dan. As long as but if it's detrimental to going out in the summer and buying someone, then no, he'll have to go. But I think you know, we had Alan Smith on the show about 3-4 weeks ago, and we were talking about this, and I just kept saying to him, we just need someone to put the ball in the back of the net. That's it. That's all we need. The defence is doing well. I'm happy with the goalkeeper. Partey, if we can get a midfielder, because obviously Xhaka needs to stay on the pitch. We cannot continue this with 10 men. It is just ridiculous. But thank you for your question.
Can I just say something about Partey?
Yeah, go on, you can.
Of course. The classiest players we've got, but I'm afraid he's also one of the most clumsiest. He can lose the ball so easily in such a bad position. And luckily, he gets away with it 9 times out of 10. Some of his movement is fantastic. He turns his shoulder and he takes three players one way. And then the next minute, the ball go through his legs, it come off his knee. He's definitely got it there. And I agree, he hasn't quite done it. And I, you know, you see the old clips of him when he played for Madrid. He looked unbelievable. He looked stronger. He looked like he'd win every 75-25 tackle. Nowadays, he's got to be 60-40 in his favour, really. He's been a big disappointment, but he's definitely classy. And let's hope he just all of a sudden something clicks and he can do it, because he's definitely he's got that in him. Let's hope he does it.
Okay, and this is true as well. What Albert's saying about Mane on Tierney with his elbow, he's done it about twice. I mean, I've got many, many Scouse friends, and they were there that night. And they're actually really good to talk to. And one of them said to me, he should have been gone, Mane. And I said, let me tell you, if that was an Arsenal player, and this is what I get sick of saying, because it's true. If that was an Arsenal player, on Mane, elbow, off the pitch.
And you got all the Scouse Mafia as well in the news and in the papers and on TV and the commentators, and they don't call it out.
No, but
have you seen what's happened today? You know that goal we scored against Wolves to win the other night? It went to VAR, didn't it? They reckon it might be still not given the goal now.
Why?
What goal are you talking about?
When we won 1-0, the goal that was, they went to VAR, the one that Gabriel scored. They reckon
it came over from Ben White, and then Lacazette went up for it and fell on the goalkeeper. It
might be given now.
What are you talking about? What? Given
the goal, the goal may not be that. You know, it's never happened before, so it's going to happen to Arsenal. They reckon they might disallow the goal still. I'm pulling your leg. I'm just saying how biased.
Oh, Melvin, I'm sitting here thinking, what are you going on about? The game's over a week ago. We've got three
it's
points.
Arsenal.
Oh,
it's
my
Arsenal.
God,
exactly.
Do not do that.
Exactly.
Melvin, because some of my chat room people, sorry, my head is just all over the place tonight, because some of our listeners don't know who you are, and tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been going over the Arsenal?
Well, the first time I went to Arsenal, 31st of March this year will be my 60th year going to the Arsenal.
Wow. Like my dad. My
60th?
Yeah, 60. Yeah, I went when I was seven. So 31st of March, I went to a game. My uncle, who lived with us, is mad Arsenal. That's why I support Arsenal, because my father, but he was a supporter, because my uncle, mad Arsenal supporter. I went, we played Aston Villa at home. We got beat 5-4. And twice I asked my father to take me to the toilet, as you do as a little kid. And twice Villa scored. I got blamed for the defeat, and they wouldn't take me for a couple of months after that. My mum went mad at him. You can't blame him. He's a 6-7-year-old kid. And they took me later on because my mum was made sure they did. But that was my first ever game. I started, as I say, 62-3. It's probably the 64 season I went consistently. Watched them all the way through. I used to go to away games as well. When I was about 13, my uncle used to take me to the cup games away. That was brilliant, going up north for away FA Cup. The atmosphere, you know, sometimes it was snowing around there, especially the third round. It was absolutely brilliant atmosphere and brilliant times. We had some really, really good games. We had some horrible games as well. You know, we got beat by a team getting relegated. We got beat 3-0 by Blackburn when they were bottom of the division. Went up to Ewood Park. It was horrible. But it's, as I say, 31st of March. I'm going to have a little drink. That will be my 60th year supporting the Arsenal. Going
wow.
as well.
We lost that 5-4.
That's it, 5-4.
Knew you. Do you know what? I knew you were going to know this.
And no, Perry Gross, his uncle.
They blame me for
Gross's uncle played up front.
Right. So, Melvin, I need to get you on with my dad and another lady that I want on. That will be a show. I probably won't even have to speak the whole show. Be amazing. Where did you used to sit at Highbury? East, west, right. Clock or
it was
north?
East upper, block D.
That's where I was.
Block E. Block E, block D, row 2, second row.
So I was fabulous block E, row 7,
right,
and then I was block F.
Box. God. Right by the director's box we were.
Yeah. You were so biased, yeah. The director's box was one block away from us.
I don't know if I've told you this, but I used to see you at football when you first started going, standing outside the east stand where the marble stairs was.
Yeah,
see you and your
obviously
father.
On the corner.
The only reason I know it's you, of course, is because there were no other girls that used to go then.
That's exactly right. Do you know what? When I went, there was Maria in the West Stand, who we didn't know but heard. And people used to accuse me of that on Match of the Day. And then there was a lady called Janet, who's a very close friend of mine, who has been to football longer than me. She was the only girl I know. There was no girls there in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. It all started when the females arrived and they wanted to watch football, which is fantastic. I love that. That is just amazing. 60 years. That's just fantastic. Don't look a day over 50, Melvin. You can pay me later.
I will. Checks in the post.
Danny, how'd you get into it? I actually don't know how you got into supporting Arsenal.
1976, I was in primary school. My mum had to go and get me a PE kit. She went down, went to Huntingdon, went to Sports and Fashions, had a look for all of them. They had Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs, Aston Villa. And she looked at them and she went, well, which of these teams should I pick? And then one of the person there said something about Arsenal, and she said, oh, haven't they got Irish players? And they said, yeah. And she said, oh, I love that then. And that's why I support Arsenal.
That my mum's
Irish. Yeah.
Okay. So no one has to ask me what my favourite ever Arsenal game is. Everyone knows. I'm not even going to go there.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Danny, what's your favourite ever Arsenal game?
The end of the 97-98 season, 4-0 against Everton. Magnificent game. My favourite game, my favourite goal, scored by my favourite player in my favourite season with my favourite bunch of players at my favourite stadium. Absolute. That was the pinnacle of being an Arsenal fan. To be there as we did the first part of the double. Yeah. And then a few weeks later to go to be at the Newcastle game on the hottest day this planet has ever known Wembley, beating Newcastle 2-0. That's one of my other favourite ones. To be there as we've done the double, you're thinking, wow, that no team's ever going to do that again.
That was Nicholas Anelka, wasn't it? Was it Nicholas Anelka?
Newcastle's
Overmars
and Anelka, yeah.
Ray. Oh, no, Ray. Yeah,
Ray was Cardiff, Chelsea. So Anelka was absolutely on fire, and I found that, well, I don't know if it's true, but I heard the reason he decided to leave us was because there was an internet poll that people said he wasn't going to be as good as Ian Wright.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I think it was the filthy money from Real Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that and the brothers, as we know. But what a shame. I think he would have been absolutely world-class. All right, Melvin, come on, because Carl Stark wants to know, what's Melvin's favourite game in the 60 years of watching the Arsenal?
In so many, but one that the most nervous I've been at a game is the way at Spurs when we beat them 1-0 to win the league in 71. The atmosphere was unreal. Absolutely unreal. Listen, evening games, you're going to get a better atmosphere anyway. Spurs were third in the league. We were second stroke first in the league. And it was the last game of the season, and they didn't actually want us to win the league, funnily enough, Spurs, and they threw everything at us that game, and they were a decent team.
And is that the double in 71? Is that what you're talking about? My dad was there as well. Okay.
Oh, what? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You must have been about 10 then, Melvin. That's a good memory.
God.
No, I must have been 16, 15, 16 I was then. I bunked off school. This isn't going live, is it? Obviously, no good.
Yeah.
I went around to my mate's house, who I still speak to, because we were leaving early to go to the game, because we didn't have any tickets. There was no tickets for standing, though we managed to get a seat. And then my father phoned up. I phoned my father up and said, I'll meet you early. And he goes, you're not at school? I go, no, of course not. I've just phoned the school up. They're looking for you. They go back to school, re-register, and go back to my mate's house. And luckily, we managed to get in just.
I love all these old stories. Okay, so what's your favourite player then? Can you name one? Or actually, give me your three favourite players from Highbury, Emirates, now. Yeah, I'm going to ask both of you. So
right, go on, you go first.
And you can answer this, Amanda. I'd like to hear yours as well.
Okay, cool. It'd be very hard to do three, but I'm going to have to do it three. Melvin, come on, three favourite players.
I'm going different eras here. For the old, I first started watching football, Joe Baker, centre forward.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Brilliant player. bit later on, there's so many later on. It's got to be Liam Brady for me. He was just different class. And also, recently, at the Emirates, take out the Invincibles because I could have all of them, the whole team, if you like. So let's take that aside. I loved watching Klebb play. For me, he was a bit of a magician, Alex Klebb.
I couldn't stand him. Danny? No, very, very lazy, lackadaisical. And then he did a big poo on us. And then he did a big cry about what he shouldn't have left. Another one.
On the pitch, he was terrific.
He was brought in to replace Perez, wasn't he? I think that you struggled to replace Perez. Anybody would struggle to replace Perez. I never really got him. I mean, looking back at videos, he was really good. But at the time, I remember thinking, watching him going, put your socks up, son.
He did have him down a bit, didn't he? He did have him down a little bit.
Melvin, do it in order. 1, 2, 3. Who's your first?
Liam.
Second?
Joe Baker.
And third.
Clay. Yeah.
Okay. Clay. Danny.
It's not very interesting. Number one, Tony Adams. We share a birthday, different year. He is the epitome of everything that was magnificent about Arsenal in the day. People can say that he went to prison, but he turned his life around, and now he has turned other people's lives around. Yeah. And he is everything that George Graham's Arsenal and the early days of Arsene Wenger's Arsenal was. Second, so you've got to mix in what they did for Arsenal, who they were as a person, and mix all that up.
I didn't read the small print there, Danny. I didn't see the small print on that. Sorry.
I wouldn't want to be friends with Tony Adams. I don't think I'd even want to meet him. Don't really like Dennis Bergkamp. Wouldn't really want to meet him. Ian Wright, on the other hand, I'd want him to come round and brush, wash my beard for me and read me a bedtime story, because he's a beautiful human being. I'm thinking of getting my tooth replaced and getting a gold one. Just in honour of Ian Wright. So I think combine all those things together. Second place, Dennis Bergkamp. Obviously, we named a podcast after him. Magnificent player. He was when I don't think people who are only getting into football in the last decade understand what it was for not only us to sign Dennis Bergkamp, but a player of Dennis Bergkamp's quality to come and play in the Premier League, let alone just play for Arsenal. The best player for his country most of the time. And everything he did was just sheer and utter class. And I think we could have got a few more seasons out of him, because he didn't rely on pace or speed. Just him being there was enough. And then third place, Ian Wright. Just Ian Wright. That's all you need to know. It's just, I love everything about the bloke. And even now, everything that he does on TV, a couple of times he's let us down. Dodgy choice in glasses. But as a player, he embodied the Arsenal fan. He was what every fan, you could relate to him, which is what we've missed for so long, having going, he represents me on the pitch. We're getting that now with Saka, with Smith Rowe, and with Benny Blanco and a few of those other English players that are doing wonders. That's why the Haaland boys are so loved by the Arsenal fans, because it reminds us of the days of Rocastle and Campbell and Davis and Thomas and Parle and all that lot. That we can see ourselves in them. So that's why they're my top three. And Henry wouldn't even be my top 10, because he did a big poo on us and left for the bright lights of Barcelona. And Barcelona used him like a cheap tart and then got rid of him after they'd used him. And then he went, oh, but I've always been an Arsenal fan. No, you haven't, son. Jog on.
Aww.
What's yours?
Oh, I can't do three. I've got four. I'm really struggling. I can't. So two of the same as you, Danny. Okay. Well, actually three of the same as you. But five. But I have to add in Vieira and Perez.
Well, you're in charge. You make the rules.
And Charlie Nicholas. I mean, I could actually... Charlie Nicholas was my first hero. He was the first sort of...
Superstar.
I was like in awe. But that's when I started properly going... Well, not him, but properly going late, early 80s. But then when George came in and brought Charlie Nicholas was there before George, wasn't he? Yeah. And then George got rid. Yeah.
He came in 84, I think.
Charlie Nicholas was I was a young girl growing up. I hold my hands up. I did fancy him as well.
So did I.
And I was so gutted, Dan. My friend met him and had a cheeky little kiss on the cheek, and she's a Spurs fan, and I was absolutely fuming about it. I'll never forget that. Whereas if I ever saw a Tottenham player out, never. Anyway.
Especially if it's Teddy Sheringham.
No, oh my God, don't even get me started. Scumbag. I did see him once. Yes. Anyway, so Tony Adams, Ian Wright, Charlie Nicholas, Patrick Vieira, Dennis Bergkamp, Robert Perez, Overmars. I mean, seriously, I can't do three. But if I had to, it'd be Wrighty and Adams. Bergkamp, Vieira. I just don't know. But we were, as older Arsenal fans, the luckiest people to see those sort of players grace the Highbury pitch. We are not seeing the same standard today. We are just not. Okay, so I always appreciate and think back to, and as much as you don't maybe like Omri, Dan, you can't. He was phenomenal for us.
Oh, for Arsenal, what he did at Arsenal, from the moment the day he left Arsenal, he was dead to me. Everything he did before that, probably our best player. Right up there for the best player ever.
Cole's laughing at you. Yeah, I am doing my 100 players. I could keep going. I hate him, Cole. So we're sort of seasoned gooners, or is it legacy gooners we're called or something? Yeah,
that's what the club called us, legacy gooners.
Legacy gooners.
But, you or know, legacy fans.
But you know, it's interesting because I'm now going to ask you and then we'll move on from this, but I want to know your worst ever game. You don't have to be there.
I was there.
Your worst ever game. Melvin?
Right, I think it's the semi-final when Bergkamp missed the penalty against Man United. Changed everything.
Oh, I was distraught. What, Ryan Giggs?
Yeah. Oh. That to me was
heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was. It was like, I felt numb after that game. So close yet so far. I don't think we actually played very well that night. It was the replay, wasn't it? I went to the first one, didn't go to the second. And I was just, after that game, I was just numb. I'm thinking, no, did that really happen? Did we really miss a penalty with a couple of minutes to go and then get beat? And they had 10 men, remember? I think King got set off.
So, no, do you know, I remember, Melvin, where I stood opposite the marble halls on the corner with everybody. My dad knew a journalist at the time. I can't remember his name. And I remember saying to him in February, and my dad will back this up, I said, United will win the treble. And he looked at me and he went, young lady, no, they won't. Quite patronising, obviously. And I said, they'll win the treble. And from that moment on, when Bergkamp missed, they wouldn't have won the treble.
That's what I'm saying.
We would have won the double probably. But, you know, football, innit? In a blink of an eye, it can all change. So that's your worst game. I'm just going to tell you mine before we go to Danny's. There's been many. There has been so many. I can't even begin. But the one game that ever made me cry, and I've only cried once, was David Seaman, Paul Gascoigne, semi-final, 92-1. Danny, tell me, because you're going to know.
91 when we won the league. That would have made the double, wouldn't it, Danny? We would have won the double, we won that cup.
Seaman slips, Gascoigne scores from a free kick, and I was absolutely in tears. I couldn't speak, and I've never cried like that. To know that Tottenham had done that, to know Gascoigne, and I was talking to Alan Smith about this again. It was right in front of me where he took the free kick, and we just watched it go. And I was, I had the ump that day. So that for me is one of my worst games, probably the worst feeling I've ever had. Dan, what year was that, by the way?
91, I think.
91. I'm okay, sure. Cool.
If I told you the date of this, the 3rd of May 1995, everybody can have 100 guesses. You're never going to get it.
What is it?
Arsenal 0, Wimbledon 0. It was a Saturday afternoon, I think. It was freezing cold. It was wet. I don't drink, but I was hungover. Somebody else drove. And I sat there and I had my massive big Nike thing. And it's all pulled up over me. I had a little thing like that I could see through. I'm getting soaking wet and I fell asleep. It was, the game was terrible, the players were terrible, the weather was terrible. Put my hands in my pockets and like that, and I went to sleep at a game. The only time a game bored me to sleep.
Yeah, but it can't be your worst ever game. It was a 0-0.
The one I remember. Yeah, absolutely. I hated it. I wish I hadn't gone. It's near the end of the season. I'm sure it's that one. It was definitely a 0-0 with Wimbledon. But I suppose it was... No, there was ones like the Chelsea one and like someone put up there, the Man United ones that
Wayne Bridge, when he scored against us in the Champions League. I was quite distraught that night.
Semi-final. There's been some, but those games we played well. There's been quite a few games where we've done well or we scored goals, but that one just grinds me because absolutely. And it took me 2 hours to get there, 2 hours to get home. I had to sit in the car for an hour after with the heaters on, trying to just defrost myself. It was absolutely horrendous. But the other games that we've lost, we've at least done something in, and we were going places. And I think this was during the Cup Winners' Cup run. And so I think we may have won it just a few weeks before it. So we weren't even playing our best 11. But it just grates me. Hated it. I can't even talk about it anymore.
Well, Stefano says, don't get me started on the Villa Park game. I think everyone feels like that. But the one thing as well, my first ever and only, bizarrely, European game I ever went to and I've ever been to is the Champions League final in 2006.
In away European game.
Away Europe, yeah, sorry.
Me away. Too, that's the only away one I've ever done.
Isn't it funny? It's the only, oh, is it, Dan?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, podcast brother, from another mother. The only game I've ever been to, Dan, abroad, it was incredible. I loved being in Paris. I loved it all. It was raining a bit, but when we got
that
in
storm
now,
on the way back. Good God.
Oh, I was in a plane. Yeah, the rain. I remember that.
Mad.
And I never forget sitting in the Arsenal end and all, I don't say anything, but all these chefs walked in dressed as chefs. And I swear 15 to 20 were dressed as chefs and went down past me and down the bottom. And me being the inquisitive person I am, I kept saying to everyone, why are they in fancy dress? Is that what you do at European League Cup League finals? I went all the way down and I said, excuse me, why are you all dressed as chefs? And they said, lasagna guy. And I honestly, I laughed. I was just about to say a rude word there. I laughed my head off because I couldn't believe that they would do that. It's just so funny. Football humour is funny. Okay, so I can see many people's games as well. Listen, everyone's got their own, haven't they? I mean, look, Ian's talking about the 8-2 at Man United. To be honest, weirdly, it didn't. After about seven, I wasn't even bothered. I just thought, how can, if anyone's going to lose a game 8-2, it's going to be us, isn't it?
It's called going past the paint barrier, isn't it? Once you get down at six goals, you think, well, that's it, man. It can't hurt me anymore now.
Exactly, it can't hurt me. Melvin, Jim Eaves, Swindon Town League Cup final, which is what I thought you were going to say.
No, I went to that.
The worst game.
Well, but certain, I mean, that was shocking. But the one that I actually cried at was the year, I think, before that, when we played Leeds United in the League Cup final. They beat us 1-0. They scored after about 25 minutes, I think, from a dodgy corner. And the rest of the game, they had 65 minutes of pure wasting time. When I say wasting time, they had a deck chair on the centre spot. The guy from the right wing, if it was a throw on, walked 50 yards to take the throw, and then he gave it to someone else. And I was like, I might have been about 12 at the time or whatever, and I was absolutely distraught. Football would finish as far as I'm concerned. It was cheating. I'd never seen cheating like that before, ever.
And dirty Leeds.
That was Leeds. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I think that was the first final I went to for Arsenal. Yeah. Was it? Yeah, it was. That was then. That was 68, I think. So I'd have been about 13, yeah.
There are so many games, though, that we could talk about that have made us upset. And it's true, actually. I did lie. I did cry at another game. But Anfield 89, I cried happy tears. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a different emotion that day, that's for sure.
I think we've had more happy games than sad games. Not like we're Spurs fans where we did something. We won the league once 100 years ago and then we had a lucky UEFA Cup win. And the rest of the time has been anticlimactic nonsense and underperforming scumbags. But if this was their podcast, it'd be about 3 weeks long of them all crying about all the terrible games. Most of ours have been brilliant.
Did you see that the podcast they were on? There was a City United Tottenham fan. I tweeted it last night. They absolutely rinsed the Tottenham fan. And they were talking about us as well. It was hilarious. Honestly, it was so funny. I think
there was about six people on the screen.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
It was like a minute long. And honestly, the City fan ripped into pieces. We're not Tottenham, thankfully. Right. So let's jump forward to now. Yeah. So at the beginning of the season, I think most people were just hoping and praying for fifth or sixth, for progress, for improvement. We've now got a massive chance of top four. But I heard someone say the other day, would we be overachieving if we hit it? I really don't understand when people say things like that. We are where we are in the table because that's where we deserve to be. And as the old cliche says, the table never lies. So, Melvin, at the beginning of the season, what were your hopes and dreams and reality?
I suppose fifth or sixth I would have been kind of happy with, seeing how the team played as well. But fourth would have been, no, I wouldn't have thought. Fourth would have been a very big bonus. I couldn't see it with the squad we had. Listen, I didn't see what the signings. I couldn't make any judgment on the signings yet. I'd never seen Hart. I saw Ben White play. I've heard good things about him. Ramsdale, saw one good. He played once against Liverpool when he played for Sheffield United. He was outstanding, but I didn't see him in any other games. Sheffield United haven't been on the telly a lot, really, over the last couple of years. And, I mean, look at him. Look at the change he's made. So, yeah, from not knowing anything about our signings, I think fifth or sixth I would have expected. Fourth would have been a very big bonus, and I've been over the moon, Brian.
Yeah, I was the same. Fifth or sixth. I couldn't see fourth. I absolutely couldn't see it. Danny, same or not?
Oh, we did a prediction at the beginning of the season. I can't remember what I said, but I remember being very... we did two shows, actually. I think five of us did one show and four of us did the other four did another show. And I remember being quite positive, saying that remember when Liverpool weren't in Europe and they had a good run at the league? Chelsea won the league when they weren't in Europe. Other teams have done it. And Leicester, they've had a good run. They won the league when they weren't, I think they weren't in Europe. So I didn't expect us to win the league. But I said it wouldn't take much because everyone was thinking two Manchester clubs, Liverpool, Chelsea, they're the ones that are going to be top four. And I remember saying at the time that with Ole at the wheel, and bringing in Ronaldo is a very disruptive influence, and all these other signings there, Man United always do style over content. They'd much rather get the players, the big name players, whether don't care whether they're going to fit in or not. Are we going to pay 80 million for him? We're going to Rafael Varane in. Why would you need him? We've got Cavani and all these other players, all these decent strikers. They got all the names, but not necessarily a decent team. And I remember, I think I said we could make fourth. There's a chance we could make fourth place. But I also might have said that it's like when you're going on a diet, you don't want to lose 10 stone in the first year. You've got to go by progression. So to Arsenal to get back to being good, we need to go out from nothing, Europa League, maybe a year or two in that, build up more, then get to the Champions League. By us getting straight from nothing back into the Champions League, would it be a step too far for some of these players? Because a lot of them have never played European football. A lot of them have only been at the club for a year. But the more that we go on and the more I see how brilliant everyone is, I think, yeah, if we do get fourth, it could work. And not that we're going to win the Champions League, but we are such a strong defensive unit when everybody's fit and everyone's on their game. We're just a couple of players away from being probably the best Arsenal side that we've seen since maybe after the Champions League final. That kind of era where we've got so many decent players. Because remember, we had Almunia for so long and all these other rubbish players. But now we've got such a strong spine if we can get a decent striker.
Yeah, definitely. So Uta B said, remember this, third this year, you watch. Well, if we win all our games and we start scoring...
Our games in hand are away at Chelsea, away at Spurs and home to Liverpool.
Well, do you know what, Dan? I was just going to mention that because the game for Liverpool, we're playing three games in 6 days, but a lot of teams are, you know.
Have they
announced
the Liverpool date yet?
Yes, you've been asleep, darling. It's revised March Thursday 16th. Night, 16th, yeah. So that's been revised. And obviously we've got to wait for Tottenham to be revised.
So we've got Leicester on the 13th, we've got at home, Liverpool 16th, Villa 19th, and then no games for 13 days.
It's mad, isn't it? There we go. March the 16th at 8:15. Thank you, GB. So we're all sort of similar, aren't we? But if we don't get top four, would you be really disappointed where we are at the moment at the end of the season? I mean, obviously we'd be disappointed because we're desperate for Champions League. But Dan, do you think that you would feel disappointed? Do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think we're going to do it? Where do you think we're going to end up?
I'm going to go fourth. I'm just looking at Liverpool's fixtures. 4 days before they play us, they're away at Brighton. 4 days after they play us, they're at home to Man United. So they've got some tough fixtures along that time as well. with the Inter Milan game coming before the Brighton one 4 days before that. So they're going to be they're fighting on so many fronts. I think fourth place, we can do it. We've only got 16 games to do. All these other teams, they've got League Cup final, they've got FA Cup games, they've got Champions League games. And then you've got the those players, some of their best players have been away on the AFCON. And that's going to, when I think Mane played 6 or 7 games in the space of 3 weeks. That's going to, and so did Salah. So that's going to, eventually, that's going to end up causing problems because they've played so many games without much of a break. But I think we can definitely do third. I mean, definitely do fourth if we're lucky and we keep on a decent run. I mean, we were so lucky against Wolves. That was such an important win to go to a team that have only conceded 8 goals at home in the Premier League, to go there and to get that 1-0 win down to 10 men. That's a masterstroke. And bringing on Big Bob Holding like he did, he's not getting enough credit for that. That was a masterstroke.
Yep.
And now we're going to go and play Brentford, who have got 1 point out of the last 6 games in their bottom of the form league table. And we're second with 13 points.
Yes, Dan, but it's Arsenal, isn't it? Melvin?
It's modern Arsenal. It's Arteta's Arsenal. Got to trust the process, Amanda.
I trust the princess process. Melvin, what do you reckon? Do you think we can do it?
I think we can, but the biggest word in the English language is if. Mm. We have our best 12 are very good. Anything below that is not so good. So if we get any injuries, we'd be struggling. If we get a clear bill of health and those stupid sending-offs or bent sending-offs, I think we can do it.
And we score some goals as well.
Of course, yeah.
Stephanie Goldstein, my sister from another mother. I want top four. I'm ready to hear that famous music again on my Tuesdays, Wednesdays. Oh, my God, that music's incredible. It's lovely. We do miss Champions League, don't we? And we miss what it brings as well and the players that could join us. And let's just hope we do get it. We've got Brentford tomorrow. Me, Melvin, will be sitting in the pouring rain tomorrow, apparently. Great. It's just going to be one of those. I can't cope with another game like Burnley because I went to that on my own.
Oh, no, don't. That was
oh, my life. That I was just torture. Sitting there thinking, what am I doing? It was like that, wasn't it? So let's just do predictions.
That wasn't football. They didn't come to play football, Burnley.
No, I know.
Horrible.
Can we have some predictions for tomorrow, please? Melvin. Yeah.
2-0 to the Arsenal. 2-0.
Who's scoring?
Oh, don't ask me the hard ones, will you?
You never know. You might get it right. I might see you at half time.
I'm going to go for Saka. And I'm going to go for Smith Rowe.
Okay. Dan, what do you think tomorrow?
I'm going to go 4-0. They've conceded 14 goals in their last 6 Premier League games. They are the absolute worst team in the league. We're going to smash them. Lacazette is going to get a brace. And then maybe Saka and Smith Rowe are going to score a couple. It's going to be a good game. Because they've almost avoided relegation in their first season. And we've seen so many teams, they do that in the Premier League, avoid relegation. And then they've got their sandals on, they've got their toes in the beach and they're ordering a margarita. So we're going to go. And then they're going to teach them a lesson. I mean, 6 games ago, they played Southampton, who aren't a great team. And Southampton smashed them 4-1 at home. And then Liverpool beat them 3-0 away. And Man United, they lost 3-1 at home to Man United. And we're better than Man United. So I'm going 4-0.
Do you know what's interesting? Today, I thought we were going to go for a brace because we're not in that form of scoring many goals, are we? But I had a feeling today and I was actually thinking 4-1, Dan. That's what I'm going for, 4-1. But I'd like to just mention Mikey 1. Arsenal fans happy with 5th or 6th and would be over the moon with 4th. No wonder this club is in the gutter. We're talking about this season, Mikey. We're talking about trying to improve and progress with what we have. Do you two have a comment about what Mikey says? Well, thank you for your comment, Mikey, anyway.
Yeah, I don't agree because from where we were a couple of years ago, who would have thought we'd have a clue of a chance to be 4th? This is a very, very young team. And as you say, we will progress with this team. We can keep the team together for 4 or 5 years now, and that will help everybody. No, I don't think we're in the gutter. You've got to be realistic. Who's in our division? You've got Manchester City, which is a country. You're against the country. You're against the Liverpool. We've got a fantastic manager, and they get it right. You're against Man United. Just spend money. I know we should be betting them anyway, but we're lucky that Spurs aren't playing well. And you've got Chelsea again, who's got more money than we'd ever have. So you've got to see who we're against. It's not like the old days where we had to just beat, for example, Man United on a one-to-one basis. It's not a level playing field. We can't complain because that's where we are. We've got an owner with money, and he has spent money, but he's not in the same league as the countries, if you like. So you've got to be realistic. You know, does he really think we'll just win the league this year or next year? Come on, we're not that good. We've got to be realistic. You know, we're not in the gut. We've got to be realistic.
It's not saying we're happy with that. We'd be happier with that. But we want to progress. We want to win the league. We want to win the treble. It's not about that. It's just that you have to be, as you said, realistic. Right, so we've done our predictions. I'd like to thank everyone in the chat room. Thank you so much for all your questions. Please press like if you liked us. Please press subscribe. So I still have another show to do next week. My boss doesn't sack me if I don't get enough likes. But just before we go, I would really, really love to do a shout out for a special young man called Jack, who's 18 and lives in New Hampshire. Jack has autism and he's nonverbal as well, but he absolutely loves the Arsenal. He also watches this podcast. So I really want to say a big hello to Jack. And I love the fact that his dad, who is on Twitter, so please go and follow him, is @NH_Guna. Massive Arsenal fan. Even drives in New Hampshire a red Jeep with the Arsenal number plates. It's an absolute pleasure to have you watching us, Jack. I hope you really enjoy it. I really do. And thank you for supporting me, this podcast, and the Arsenal. Right, next week, people, I'm going an hour earlier. It'll be 8 o'clock and I've got a special guest. All will be revealed next week. We just hope that tomorrow we do as we all hope and we beat Brentford and we get another 3 points for the Arsenal. I'd love to thank my special guests. Danny, I love you. You know that. You are always welcome. And how weird is this that I'm the host? It just doesn't feel right.
Crazy.
You've been my host for many times. So thank you for coming on the show. Melvin, I love you. Thank you so much. You remind me so much of my dad and your passion for the Arsenal. And I'm definitely going to get you both back on. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. You're welcome. Thank you. I might see you tomorrow at halftime.
Yeah.
We all want the Arsenal to do well. This show is nothing without all of you. Please subscribe to the Same Old Arsenal channel. If you haven't watched Four Men and a Mic with Craig, Suburban Guna and James Cook, go and watch it. It was brilliant. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night. Unfortunately, Danny wasn't well when he wasn't on it, but you missed a good show, Dan.
I watched it. It was good,
wasn't it? Really good. Craig will be back next week. So will I, an hour earlier next Friday. And as always, stay safe, be well, always Arsenal, always Arsenal.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.